being in a death camp and killing one of the officers is pretty much the platonic ideal of resistance. You are as powerless as can be, and yet you still resist. Something I've been doing lately is occasionally posting examples of people who have resisted through history. And I'm trying to do this to help normalize resistance. So, you know, people who have opposed the Nazis, people who have, there were some Vietnamese, the Trung sisters who opposed the Chinese occupation of Vietnam back 1500 years ago or a long time ago, various people who've resisted through history. And I posted one a couple of days ago that was Meyer Berliner, and he's one of my favorites. He was a Argentinian Jew whose family chose the wrong time to vacation in Poland, and they went there just before the Germans invaded. And of course, as Jews in Poland, they were sent to death camps. So Meyer Berliner's wife and child were killed. And he killed an SS officer and was then beaten to death with shovels. And he was famous for this great line about, when the oppressor gives me two choices, I always take the third. So I posted this, and one of the problems, one of the things that's annoying me is that when I post these, almost always somebody has to complain about the person who resisted. If there is a teenager in Nazi Germany, I'm sorry, a teenager in Russia in World War II who opposed the Nazis, well, then somebody who will say, well, of course this person is a dupe of Stalin, or just no matter what I choose, somebody has to pick at it, which I find just extraordinary, especially considering the state of resistance here, which is essentially non-existent. So this is people sitting in their fucking asses complaining about people who gave their lives for something they cared about. And that happened again here with some jerk going on and on about how this was a terrible example and it wasn't real resistance because Meyer Berliner had been rich enough to be able to take his family on a vacation. And I just find this extraordinary, in that being in a death camp and killing one of the officers is pretty much the platonic ideal of resistance. You are as powerless as can be, and yet you still resist. And this white male person from the United States has to fucking complain that that was a person of privilege. It's extraordinary. And it's not extraordinary. It's absolutely all too ordinary. And one other thing I want to say about Meyer Berliner is that because of his actions, the Nazis realized that it didn't work to basically kill the Jews as they came in the door, because the Jews had nothing to lose. And so they changed it. So there was a permanent permanent group of Jews who would handle a lot of the work. And those were given better treatment. And so because of his action, life improved tangibly for some of the Jews in the death camp. And B, more importantly, because of this change in procedure, and because this meant there was continuity among some of the Jews who were continuing at the death camp for a while, they were able to plot the resistance at Treblinka, which resulted in the destruction of Treblinka, because they were actually able to pull together a revolt that freed some 600 people, many of whom died soon after. But the point is, they were able to destroy the crematoriums because of that change in procedure. So he accomplished things in the real world, which is more than I can say for Mr. He was rich enough to I've taken a vacation in Argentina. And the same person got a note to me recently, and this is all going to have a larger point than this particular person. The same person got a note to me recently, basically saying that my work is really bad because my work is, quote, politicized. I get this a fair amount from sort of post-left anarchists, which says more about post-left anarchism than it does about anything else, that they have turned the term politicized into a curse word. And of course my work is politicized because I am attempting to change the real world. That's why I write. You know, I do these Resistance Radio interviews and I send off requests for people to interview, and sometimes they turn me down and sometimes they say yes. And I'm fine when people turn me down. You know, that's absolutely fine. But somebody turned me down for a reason that kind of annoyed me the other day, which is Joseph Tainter, who wrote The Collapse of Complex Societies. He turned me down because he said that it is very important that his work not be used for political ends. And I find this a position of extraordinary privilege and cowardice, frankly, that why would you write about the collapse of societies unless you are attempting to in some way affect that collapse and make it less horrible? Another thing that this person did, the person who got the note to me the other day did, was say that, basically dismiss all of my work, and the only thing that mattered to him is whether I was, quote, rewilding. So never mind the fact that I've written 25 books. Instead, what is important is that I eat greens that I forage from the forest. Never mind the fact that I've helped to save, you know, all these thousands of acres of forest. The point is whether I am catching rabbits with my hands to eat them. And now we finally get to the point, which is, over the years, over the decades, over the last 20 years, I've received probably, I'm going to say 4,000 or 5,000 pieces of hate mail. About 400 or 500 of those are from right wingers. And those, almost all those came in one blast soon after the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, because the, I had written that Tony Hayward, CEO of BP, should be tried, and if found guilty, sentenced to death for the killing of the oil workers and the killing of the Gulf of Mexico. And right-wingers got really, really mad and sent me several hundred pieces of hate. But that was a brief flurry. The longer series, about 90% of the hate mail that I've received over the decades has been basically from lifestylists, from people who are absolutely opposed to organized resistance, and they are horrified and appalled that I do believe in organization and I do believe in resistance. And so there will be anti-car activists because I drive a car. There will be vegetarians because I eat meat. There will be simple living activists. There will be pacifists because I don't believe that chopping wood and carrying water will by itself stop empire. There will be simple living activists who complain because I believe that resistance is more important than gardening. And I don't have a problem with gardening. I think gardening is a fine thing. And I think that gardening in order to supply a resistance movement is a wonderful thing. But gardening for the sake of gardening does not actually stop the murder of the planet. And I mean, it's like I was doing a talk one time, and this I was mentioning about how I had worked with a whole bunch of people who had helped to protect tens of thousands of acres through filing timber sale appeals. And the one of the comments from the audience was, well, how many of those trees that were living then did you actually plant yourself? Like, why the fuck do I have to plant the trees? We don't trust nature to plant the trees. Why is it not more important to actually save this land than to plant the trees myself? I don't understand the narcissism. And the whole thing is really based on narcissism of all of these, this notion that it's really based on it's based on a sort of nihilism and a sort of hopelessness. And I'm interested to use the word hopelessness since I bash hope so much, but basically it's based on this belief that one cannot accomplish anything in the larger world. One can't actually stop the movement of history. So all I can do is affect my little corner of the world. And it's fine if you believe that. It's fine if your vision is so small that you can't understand that people have organized to bring about larger change. But it's that cliche of lead, follower, get out of the way. But instead, what this is they don't lead, they don't follow, and they try to stop anybody who actually is doing something. And then they complain it's not right. In many ways, what this boils down to is a self-centered versus a community-centered worldview. And the world is bigger than you are, and the world is bigger than I am. And especially at this juncture in the destruction of the planet, the world is counting on us. And it's counting on us to do more than to take shorter showers or to chop wood and carry water. You know, and I guess this is inherent to narcissism, but it also reveals a profound incapacity to love. Because if you love someone else, you will do what is necessary to protect that other. And you know, salmon need your help right now, and the oceans need your help. And if the best you can come up with to do is to try to find some local greens to eat, I've said this before, if Delta Smelt could take on human manifestation, what would they do? If Mako sharks could take on human manifestation, what would they do? If Kodiak bears could take on human manifestation, what would they do? They would do a damn sight more than take shorter showers. You know, I've said before how tired I get of people who say, oh, it's too late. There's no use in resisting. You know, the world's just going to go down. We can't do anything. And there's a sense in which that is, of course, completely appalling. And for me, at least, completely incomprehensible because the world's at stake. And then I was thinking, you know, how we've all heard about the Bataan Death March and we've all heard about various prisoners being put on forced marches. And I'm getting older. I'm 57 and my health is not great. And if some conquering people were to come here now and say to me, you know, to gather up a whole group of people and to put us on a march where they say, you're going to have to march 50 miles a day, or, you know, if you fall by the side, we're going to kill you. At this point, when I was 20, like, I could have done it, you know, and when I was 25, when I was 30, I would have walked till I dropped. But now 57, I would just say, kill me. It's like, you're going to kill me 300 yards down the road, so you may as well just do it now. I wouldn't go. But here's the difference. If somebody said to me, you have to walk that 50 miles in a day or I will kill someone you love, I would get up and walk. And I would walk until I dropped. That's the difference.